We present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with John Glyn Jones, Julia Lockwood, Bridget Armstrong, Dennis Ramsden, and Simon Merrick. Episode 5, Assault, featuring this week's guest star, Joan Sims.
Ah, good morning, Miss Merrivale.
Good morning, Alex.
I was expecting Mr. Merrivale.
Uncle's got flu, so he sent me. Do you think I could see Roger, Mr. Thursby?
Yes, of course, miss. You've brought the brief, I see. I'll enter it up afterwards. No doubt you want to talk to him about it.
Thank you, Alec. Oh, Alec, would you do a small thing for me?
If I can, Miss Merrivale.
Don't tell Mr. Thursby it's me. Just say it's Thornton, Merrivale and Co.
All right, miss, I will.
Come in.
It's Thornton, Merrivale and Co, sir.
Oh, thank you, Alec. Show him in, please.
I said, and Co, sir.
They haven't brought the whole lot, have they?
Just the one representative, sir.
All right, well, show him in, please, Alec. It's Mr. Merrivale, I suppose.
No, I'm afraid not, sir. He's got flu.
Oh, now, look. When you show him in, would you be very careful to mention his name clearly? I've got very bad with names recently. What is their managing clerk's name, by the way?
They've got several. There's Mr. Naunton, there's Mr. Smith, and... Oh, good gracious, I've forgotten the name of the other one.
Well, if it's him, ask him before he comes in, won't you, Alec?
I will, sir.
Right. I rather hope it is, actually. It'll be a good thing for me to meet another member of the firm.
Excellent, sir. I'll bring them in now.
Right.
Messrs. Thornton Merrivale's representative, please, come this way.
What a blithering idiot. Now, I shan't know his name anyway. I can't say good morning, Mr. Representative. Oh. Come in.
Messrs. Thornton Merrivale, sir.
Oh, thank you. Joy!
Just call me Ann Kerr. That'll make you feel better.
You've no business to come. You know I said I didn't want you to.
Oh, but you didn't really mean it, Roger, did you? You only said it because you're engaged to Sally and didn't think you ought to see me anymore. That's true, isn't it?
Then why did you come?
Because I wanted to see you. Anyway, Uncle's got flu, and Mr. Naunton couldn't come, and Mr. Smith couldn't come, and Mr. Hollingbourne couldn't come, so there was only little me, but you asked me not to come, so honour is satisfied, isn't it? Even if you are pleased, really.
I didn't say I was pleased.
But you are, aren't you, darling?
Now, don't start that, Joy. Look, we must treat the matter on a purely business footing.
Of course. It was you who started the personalities.
Please, look, you seem to have brought me a brief.
That's right. Shall we talk about it?
Well, I thought that was what you were here for.
I just wondered if you cared to talk about anything else first.
Certainly not.
Not even that day when we got lost in the mist on Brighton Downs.
Certainly not.
Or when we nearly had that accident on the Hog's Back.
Look, please. If you do come to see me, Miss Merrivale, it must be on a purely professional basis.
Then I can come again.
A barrister is bound to accept a case in the courts in which he normally practices, provided he's free to take it.
So it's your duty to see me.
You could put it that way.
There was a time when you loved your duty.
Those times are past.
Well, say they were good times and we'll talk about the brief.
Yes, I suppose there's nothing wrong in saying they were good times.
Oh, Roger. They were good times, weren't they? Do you remember?
But I remember that you promised that we'd get on with the brief. I don't wish to be reminded. I don't wish to be reminded of... Oh, Joy, really, you mustn't.
Oh, Roger, I could hug you, Mr. Thursby. Now, let's get down to business. As a matter of fact, it was you who used to hug me, Roger.
We hugged each other. Oh, now what on earth, Roger? I knew this would happen if you came in. It's not fair to me, it's not fair to you, it's not fair to Sally. Now, let's get on with the case. What's it all about?
Well, you remember appearing for a Mrs. Polegate some time ago.
Do I not?
And you remember Uncle Alfred told you she was summoning him for assault, although he said she hit him with her handbag.
That's right.
Well, the police wouldn't take the case, and the magistrates wouldn't issue a summons, so eventually she issued a summons in the county court. No one can stop her from doing that.
And your uncle really wants me to appear for him?
We have great trust in you, Roger. It's coming on next Thursday before Judge Ripon.
Oh, good. That'll give me plenty of time to get ready.
But there's one thing Uncle would like to know now. Need he come to the court?
Oh, well, that depends on how she puts her claim. What does she say?
She says that Uncle assaulted and beat her. Can you imagine? Uncle assaulting or beating anyone, let alone a woman.
Well, it's ridiculous, of course.
I wish you'd assault me, Roger.
I shall do nothing of the kind. Let's get on with the case. Now, what does your uncle say happened?
She hit him several times, and eventually he got tired of this, so he pushed her away.
Well, he was just defending himself from her assault.
Exactly, but I wouldn't from yours.
I do wish you'd stick to the point.
What is the point?
I forget.
Need my uncle come to court?
Well, yes, of course, I'm afraid he'll have to. Or she may say that he pushed her too hard or something. And if he's not there, you see, to contradict it, the judge may have to believe her.
It's very awkward for him. He says he can't spare the time.
Well, I don't really see how it could be avoided, but I'll ask Grimes, and if he thinks he can get some way out of it, I'll give you a ring. Come to think of it, I'll go and ask Grimes now, and then I can give you the answer to take back your uncle. Excuse me a minute.
Come in. Say, my dear fellow, you look hot and worried. Some judge been tearing the pants off you?
No, it's not that, Grimes.
Oh, you've been canoodling again, have you? Yeah, I can see it in your eyes.
Grimes, I have not been canoodling. If you want to know, Miss Merivale has just been to see me on behalf of her uncle, and we've had an entirely professional conversation.
How disappointing, my dear fella. Sure you don't want my advice about how to make it an unprofessional conversation?
No, Grimes, I do not. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask you about the case, if you can spare me a moment.
Oh, many moments as you like, my dear fellow. I've only got this case in the House of Lords tomorrow. 6 opinions to finish off and 2 or 3 applications this afternoon. It's like a breath of fresh air, my dear fellow, to hear your troubles. What are they?
Well, I'm appearing for Mr. Merivale, and he's been charged with assault.
Assault? My dear fellow, I can't believe it. Most respectable man. I can't think of anyone less likely to misbehave himself than old Merivale. It's a woman, I suppose.
Yes, Grimes.
Well, it only goes to show, my dear fellow, you can never tell. It can happen to you at any age. But he ought to know better. He's a respectable married man.
But it wasn't that sort of assault, Grimes.
I thought you said it was a woman, my dear fellow.
Yes, but it wasn't that sort of woman.
Oh, you mean not the sort of woman he'd want to assault?
Well, I'm not sure about that. She's a very irritating woman. I appeared for her, you see, as a matter of fact. But after the case, she started hitting Merivale with her bag, so he pushed her away.
Ah, you'd lost the case, I suppose, and she was angry.
No, I won it.
But you'd won it? What was she grumbling about then?
You may well ask, Grimes. She grumbled because I didn't say anything. The magistrate dismissed the case because the policeman had left the force and couldn't be found, so there was nothing for me to do.
Well, I'm sure you did it very well, my dear fella. You must admit it was a case that shooted you down to the ground.
But she brought a lot of witnesses to the court and was very angry they weren't called. And she'd taken a lot of measurements, which was never produced, and I didn't say anything. She got very angry. That's how it all happened.
Yeah, what's the matter? What do you want to ask me, my dear fella?
Well, it's like this, Grant. Merivale doesn't want to come to the court. It'd be an awful nuisance for him, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I said he'd have to come, otherwise her evidence would be undisputed. So I thought I'd ask you if there's any way in which we could let him off.
Well, not unless he wants to lose the case. If he wants to win, he'll have to be there.
That's what I said.
Well, good for you, my dear fellow. You're right for once.
So there it is, Joy. He'll have to be there.
He won't be pleased.
Well, he wouldn't be pleased if he lost, would he? Wouldn't look too good in the papers, would it? Solicitor convicted of assaulting former client.
It would be terrible for the poor darling. Roger. This is one case you mustn't lose.
Then the poor darling will have to come to court.
But, Roger, darling, you're so very, very clever.
I am, rather, aren't I?
Then surely you can think of a way to keep him out of it. Couldn't you just call other witnesses to say she did all the assaulting?
There weren't any witnesses.
There's me.
You didn't see what happened?
I could say I did.
Yes, you could, couldn't you? No, of course you couldn't. It'd be perjury.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean?
It would depend how you framed your questions. For example, if you asked me to describe the incident, I could do it easily.
But you weren't there.
I know, darling. So you must be careful not to ask me whether I was there or not. Just ask me if I saw what happened, and I'll say yes.
But you didn't see it.
I did. I can see it now, in my mind's eye.
What? Oh, you can't say that.
Of course not, silly. I won't actually say it.
Then you'd be deceiving the court.
No, darling. Just misunderstanding the question.
Look, please, Joy, this is quite impossible. I'm surprised at you.
Are you, darling?
Well, no, I'm not, actually. It's pretty true to form, really. But you can take it from me that I'm not calling you to tell the court what you see in your mind, huh?
No, perhaps you'd better not.
What?
I see all sorts of things in my mind's eye. Things I wouldn't want the court to hear about.
Really? What sort of thing?
Ooh, delicious and exciting things, darling, like, you and I going to bed?
What? Stop. Don't say another word.
Why not?
You're upsetting me again.
But I was only going to say you and I.
I know what you were going to say. Oh, blast. It's gotten to my mind's eye now.
Roger. I was only going to say you and I going to Bedloe's Island.
Bedloe's Island? We were going there, were we? Where on earth is it?
New York Harbour. It's where the Statue of Liberty is.
Good Lord. How did you know that?
I'm very well informed, Roger. Yes, I can see us in my mind's eye, leaning on the rail of a liner while I tell you all about it.
I can't see that bit in my mind's eye. What happens next?
We go below, and you put your arms around me.
Yes, I'm getting the picture now. It's coming through loud and clear, in colour.
Go on, then. Do it. Put your arms around me. That's right. Then we kiss, like this.
Stop it, Joy. We've got to stop.
Darling, it almost sounds as if you want me to go.
You must go.
Have you got so much work to do?
Don't!
What is it?
I haven't got any work to do.
You've got this case from my uncle?
Yes, I've got that.
Roger, darling, don't you get any work except from my uncle?
None. Well, hardly any.
Poor darling. They'll find out what you're worth one day.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Meanwhile, I'll see he keeps you going till you make your name.
Now, look here, Joanne.
Yes?
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
You could try, I suppose.
When you say, you'll see he keeps me going, you are speaking as an old friend.
I'm speaking as a girlfriend,
now, darling. That's just what you're not. Now, please understand, Joy. I don't care how many briefs your uncle sends me.
I bet you don't.
He can brief me till he's blue in the face.
You are sweet, Roger. I do adore you.
In future, kindly adore from a distance.
I'll keep it all in my mind's eye for the moment. But if you do want to keep in with Uncle Alfie, I strongly advise you to think up some way of winning his case without having to call him. Come and sit down, Roger, darling, and I'll give you a drink. A friend of Mother's brought it back from the Middle East.
Really? What is it?
Zibib.
Zibib? What on earth's that?
Sort of Egyptian ouzo.
Really? That makes it perfectly clear.
Go on, try it.
Right. Oh. Oh. And it packs a punch, doesn't it? Is this the stuff they pickle mummies in?
I shouldn't wonder. How do you like it?
It's disgusting. Give me another.
Sure.
What? My knees.
Had a busy day?
Exhausting.
That doesn't answer the question. Did you have a lot of work to do?
Oh, a case in the House of Lords to prepare, 6 opinions to finish off, 2 or 3 applications.
Darling, really?
Yes, in my mind's eye.
Poor love, is that all?
Oh, no, there was this trip to Bedloe's Island, too.
Where?
New York Harbour, Statue of Liberty.
Who on earth do you come to know a thing like that?
I happen to be extremely well informed.
And you saw it today in your mind's eye?
Yes, there it was.
And where were you?
Leaning on the rail of this liner.
Which liner?
It's funny you should ask that.
Why?
Because I don't know.
But you must have crossed the Atlantic in her.
I didn't see that bit.
What bits did you see?
After Bedloe's Island, we went below and...
We?
What? Did I say we?
Yes, Roger.
Oh, silly of me.
It was rather. You and some girl, was it?
Some girl?
Joy?
Good heavens, no. It was you, of course.
Roger, is that strictly true?
Oh, none of it's strictly true. It's all in my mind's eye, see? I think I need another Ibzib.
Zibib.
Zibib, all right. You can
So you spent all day daydreaming?
Nothing of the sort. I had a very important conference with a client.
Oh, Merivale again.
What about it? It's a very good fellow.
Oh, no objection to Mr. Merivale. It's his representative.
It grows on you, this embalming fluid, isn't it? Now, look here, Sally. It's time we face facts.
You were going to sell the car, but that maniac Mrs. Polegate backed into it, and now you can't afford to pay for the repairs, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, darling, but facts aren't very pleasant, are they?
Ibby-zibby is a fact, and it's a very pleasant one, too.
Oh, Roger, for goodness sake, don't drink any more. Oh, well, if you want to drown your sorrows...
I'll have to drown that Polegate woman.
Why, what's she done now?
Suing old Merivale for assault.
She's not really going ahead with that.
She is, and Merivale's the only man who gives me any work. But all of them is the only man. Without him, I don't know how I'd keep going, let alone save money.
Cheer up, Roger. I'm sure you'll win the case.
You don't understand. He doesn't want to come to court himself, and I can't possibly win without him.
No other witnesses?
Only in the mind's eye.
Well, then you just have to be there, won't he?
I've told him that.
Well, then what's all the misery about?
Well, can't you see, Sally? Get your mind's eye to work. I get him there. I call him. He gives his evidence, and then we lose the case after all. Miss Merivale, thank goodness you've arrived.
Roger, my dear boy, it's always nice to see you again. It is a confounded nuisance you've had to drag me in here today.
But you can never tell what a woman like this is going to say. And if you weren't in court, you wouldn't be able to contradict her, would you?
The whole thing's a lot of nonsense. Is she doing the case herself?
No.
That's something. Who's appearing for her?
Frith Wyndham.
Oh, good Lord, I might have known. I wish she'd been doing it herself. The judge would shut her up, but he won't be able to shut up Frith Wyndham. Oh, well, we'd better go, I suppose. And Roger, make sure you win, won't you?
Well, I've already won, sir.
What?
In my mind's eye. Shall we go, sir? The case will be called in a minute.
All right, let's get on. Mr. Frith Wyndham.
May it please, Your Honor. I appear in this case for the plaintiff, and my learned friend, Mr. Roger Thursby, appears for the defendant. This is a claim for assault, Your Honor, and I want to say at the outset that this is a very grave matter. A very grave matter indeed.
From the particulars I've read, your client doesn't seem to have been hurt.
No, not physically, it is true, Your Honor. But Your Honor is entitled to take into account the nature of the assault, and in particular, the person who committed it, who, Your Honor, I may say, was none other than the plaintiff's own solicitor. The plaintiff's own solicitor, Your Honor. I ask you,
What do you ask me, Mr. Flintwinch?
That was a purely rhetorical question, Your Honor. The plaintiff's own solicitor.
You said that three times now.
And, Your Honor, I shall say it a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth, if needs be. I am conducting this case, Your Honor, if I may say, and not you. I am in charge of the language and the repetitions to be used on behalf of the plaintiff. Can you imagine a worse case, Your Honor, than a woman's own solicitor assaulting her?
Yes, I can, Mr. Frithwyndham. Her husband, or even her great-grandfather, for example.
Neither of them is alive, Your Honor, so they don't come into the case. My client is a highly respectable widow, and her assailant was her own solicitor. Or had been until half a minute before the assault.
You mean he'd asked her to remove her business?
On the contrary. She had told him she was no longer satisfied, which Your Honor may find significant.
I may, Mr. Frithwyndham. You go on, please, but please, not for too long.
I didn't quite hear what Your Honor said.
You weren't meant to. Pray continue.
I was speaking of the assailant, Your Honor, who is a solicitor.
You told me that already, Mr. Frithwyndham.
And I shall tell you again, Your Honor, as often as I consider necessary. To be assaulted by an ordinary member of the public is one thing, but to be assaulted by a distinguished member of his profession is quite another. Just imagine a bishop or a judge assaulting someone. The damages would be much higher than if it were an ordinary member of the public.
You mean that I should have to pay more than you would, Mr. Frithwyndham?
That is my submission, Your Honor.
Even though you might hit harder, though perhaps less accurately than I should.
I think it would be a splendid idea, like in the old days, jousting for his lady's fancy or whatever they called it.
Now, Mr. Frithwyndham, if that is your client, please tell her to keep quiet.
Mrs. Polegate, you'll get your chance in a moment. Please don't interrupt again.
Why don't you suggest that you and the judge have a go? It would be the most tremendous fun. I'd hold your wig for you.
Please be quiet, madam.
And now, Your Honor, I want to come to damage. It is quite true that my client suffered no physical injury, but later on she sustained delayed shock, and that involved 3 weeks' holiday at the seaside.
Don't make too much of this little case, Mr. Frithwyndham.
The case will speak for itself, Your Honor.
If only it would.
Call Mrs. Polegate.
After the obstruction case was over, Your Honor, I was quite dumbfounded, and I said so to Mr. Merivale, but he was not at all sympathetic. I'm sure you would have been sympathetic, Your Honor, if you'd known I'd been to the court with 20 witnesses and not been allowed to call any of them and had employed a counsel who didn't say anything at all. A young man called Thursday. There he is. He hasn't said anything today either, Your Honor. I don't know if he's going to.
Madam, please confine yourself to the facts.
Facts? Ah, well, I was rather agitated. Probably my bag was swinging about on my arm, and the next thing I knew was that Mr. Merivale gave me a violent push, and it was a mercy that I didn't fall down and cut my head open. Perhaps he would have been sorry then.
What happened then?
I called him an old popinjay.
Of what?
An old popinjay. I didn't know what it meant, but it sounded right at the time.
And how did you feel, Mrs. Polegate, after all this?
Well, to tell you the truth, and I suppose that's what I'm here for, Your Honor, to tell you the truth, I felt better after I'd called him an old popinjay, but when I got home, I felt ill.
In what way?
Well, I can only say that I felt ill. I hadn't a pain, I didn't feel dizzy, I didn't feel sick, I just felt ill. Ill. And my doctor advised me to go away for 3 weeks, so of course I went. I always take my doctor's advice when I agree with it. I also told Your Honor that when I felt ill, I tried to make myself better by calling Mr. Merivale an old popinjay again. But I couldn't get the words out. You old pop, I started to say, but I couldn't get past the pop. And then I felt rather foolish lying on the floor of my sitting room with my head in my hands saying, you old pop. So I expect Your Honor would have felt foolish doing that too.
What did it cost you to go away for 3 weeks?
Well, what with one thing and another, it came to £96. Mind you, it wasn't much of a place, really. The people were such balls. They all played croquet and talked of nothing else. All you could hear at mealtimes was rookie croquet throughout the dining room. And when they weren't eating, they were playing. I don't know which was worse, to hear the click, click, or should I say, clop,
clop of the balls, or to hear them talking about it afterwards. But the soup was good. You don't often get good soup in an hotel, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mrs. Polegate.
Yes, Mr. Thursby, do wish to cross-examine?
If Your Honor pleases. Mrs. Polegate, is that bag you have in the witness box the same bag that you had on the occasion we are talking about?
Well, what if it is?
Did it hit Mr. Merivale?
He may have protruded against it.
Did he protrude against it several times?
If I were Mr. Merivale, I'd take a slimming cure. If he had, the bag probably wouldn't have reached him. Shakespeare might have had Mr. Merivale in mind when he wrote, "In fair round belly with fat capon lie."
You mustn't be offensive, Mrs. Polegate.
He shouldn't have hit me.
I suggest to you, madam, that all Mr. Merivale did was to push you away to stop you from going on hitting him with your handbag.
Gentlemen don't push.
Ladies don't swing their bags at people.
I've never swung my bags at anybody.
Your bag, madam.
What about it? It's lying quite harmlessly on the witness box. I'm not swinging it at his honour, am I now? Am I, Your Honour?
Don't be foolish, please, Mrs. Polegate.
Ah, Your Honour. You've touched on a difficult matter. I am foolish, I must admit it. For example, I employed Mr. Merivale as my solicitor. That was foolish, if you like.
Mrs. Polegate, you must not be offensive.
Offensive, Your Honour? Me? Offensive? Perish the thought. Or oughtn't I to say that here?
Madam, you don't like Mr. Merivale, do you?
I like the whole human race, Mr. Thursby. That includes you. That doesn't mean I want you for my counsel or Mr. Merivale as my solicitor. But we all have our likes and dislikes. You may not like barley sugar. I adore it. But I can't eat tripe. But when I say I don't eat tripe, I'm not being offensive to the cows, am I?
Madam, I wish you'd keep to the point. You're claiming damages from Mr. Merivale because you say he pushed you. I'd like to hear you say more about the push.
More about the push?
More about the push.
More about the push.
Well, madam. Thursby, is Mrs. Polegate trying to be impertinent?
I think there's some slight misunderstanding, Your Honor. Your Honor said that you wanted to hear her say more about the push. So she said more about the push.
She said nothing more about it.
But she said what she thought Your Honor wanted her to say.
She did no such thing.
She thought Your Honor wanted her to say more about the push.
I did.
Well, she said it, Your Honor.
I've been very patient, Mr. Thursby, but you seem to be as obtuse as Mrs. Polegate.
Well, it's the other way around, if I may say so, Your Honor.
You may not say so, Mr. Thursby.
Well, I've seen this, Your Honor, but if I may explain...
You require to explain, Mr. Thursby.
Your Honor said that you wanted to hear Mrs. Polegate say more about the push. She thought you wanted to say those words, more about the push. So she said, more about the push.
I said it twice, Mr. Thursby.
Well, of course I didn't want to hear her say more about the push.
Oh, I thought you did, Your Honor. What is it Your Honor wants me to say?
His Honor wants you to tell him more about the push. Exactly.
Yes, well, I've said everything I can think of. Do you want me to make something up?
I think you might rephrase your last question, Mr. Thursby.
Certainly, Your Honor. I suggest to you, Mrs. Polegate, that when you said that Mr. Merivale pushed you, that wasn't true.
Are you suggesting, young man, that I don't tell the truth?
You mustn't call Mr. Thursby young man.
But that's the truth, isn't it? And I've sworn to tell it.
Well, as long as you don't call the learned judge old man, I don't mind you calling him young.
Mr. Thursby, I'm in two minds about that statement of yours.
Oh, Your Honor's in two minds. I'm so glad to hear that. I'm often in two minds. In three sometimes, and sometimes in no mind at all. It goes blank, you know.
Behave yourself. Behave yourself, madam. Go on, Mr. Thursby.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Mrs. Polegate, where did you go when he pushed you?
I went straight home.
No, I mean, before you went straight home.
Before I went home?
Yes, madam.
Well, actually, is it necessary to mention these things?
What I mean, madam, is you say that Mr. Merivale pushed you. If he pushed you, you must have moved somewhere.
The address is still the same. The telephone number is the same.
You were standing in the court lobby when you say Mr. Merivale pushed you. Now, what effect did this have? How far did you move in the court lobby?
I didn't. It all happened there.
Do you think Mr. Merivale disliked being prodded by your bag?
I don't see why he should have. It was a very nice one.
I have a very nice umbrella, madam, but you wouldn't like me to prod you with it, would you?
I'm sure you wouldn't prod anyone, Mr. Bugsy.
I've had enough of this. Do you want to say anything, Mr. Frith Wyndham? If so, kindly tell me why I should not dismiss the case.
I will indeed, Your Honor. I'm going to say a great deal. I see that it is now 3 o'clock. I don't know what time Your Honor intends to rise, but I'll still be talking then.
Oh.
Even if it's as late as 5 o'clock. I do not propose to let my client...
Roger, come in, darling. What happened?
I won!
Oh, darling, how splendid. Tell me all about it.
In a minute, I'll just give myself a tiny glass of Zibib. Incidentally, I think old Merivale may probably telephone me. He had to go off in a hurry, but I gave Alec your number. Hope you don't mind. In case he wanted to ring me, you see. He didn't have time to thank me.
Yes, of course. Now, tell me what happened. I want to know all the details. Was it your speech that did it, or your cross-examination, or what?
Well, I don't want to boast, Sally, but frankly, it was my cross-examination. The judge stopped the case in the middle and gave judgment in my favor.
Oh, you're so clever. Oh, I expect that's your call. You take it.
Ah, right. Yes. Roger Thursday speaking, yes. Oh, yes. I thought he might want to speak to me. Yes, I'll hold on, yes. It's him, Merivale. Hello? Ah, yes, Mr. Merivale? Ah, I thought you might possibly want to, have a word with me.
I spent nearly the whole day in that blasted county court listening to you and your opponent and the judge of Mrs. Polegate all talking irrelevant nonsense. I've never heard such a load of rubbish in all my life. Meantime, waiting in my office was a very important client who'd flown over from America, especially to see me. He waited 3 hours, Mr. Thursby, 3 hours, and eventually he could wait no longer. I went across the road to Cobb and Postlethwaite. You remember what you told me, Mr. Thursby, that it was necessary for me to attend this case, otherwise I might lose it? Well, thanks for taking your advice, Mr. Thursby, I've lost a great deal more. I've lost a client. I've lost a client who might have brought this firm hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of business. I shouldn't have been able to sleep tonight, Mr. Thursby, unless I'd rung up to thank you. Thank you very much.
Well? Roger, you can't drink Zibib by the tumbler.
I can try and succeed.
Well, what did he say?
Who?
Mr. Merivale, of course. Was he angry?
Angry? No. He wasn't angry at the bridge, no. Not angry at all. He was beside himself. Just like me. Beside himself. Positively beside himself.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars, Grimes, John Glyn Jones, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Joy, Bridget Armstrong, Mr. Merivale, Dennis Ramsden, Mrs. Polegate, Joan Sims, Frith Wyndham, Simon Merrick, the judge, Gerald Cross, Alec Martin Friend. Assault was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.